we're here on Dwayne's World with a very special guest, myself. You guys know I love myself very much. And that's why I'm here, and that's why I want to talk to you guys. And if you're driving, whatever you're doing, if you're hanging, if you're working out, please enjoy this, because you guys know this album in this time period that I'm in right now is very special. And to start it off, I just want to give some thank yous to everyone that kind of dedicated to making this album and to who inspired me, and the artists and the friends in my life and the family that were just really, really, really important for this process. And I want to thank Naveed. I also want to tell a story about when Naveed told me after I dropped Stains, which was my first record, and I got done running like 3 miles, which I really enjoy doing every day, and, you know, getting my abs right and getting my little skinny body right. And Naveed was like, hey, man, the album's really good. I was like, oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, right? It's very fire. Super 8 is like a smash. He was like, yeah, but you're like a rookie that, you know, didn't make the playoffs. And for anybody that knows sports references, it's like, you know, you can work so hard for the whole season, or you can even work hard for your whole life, and you feel like moments come where you think you're going to kind of fly to that place you've always been dreaming of. And that's why I really want to, I think this episode is so special, because I want to tell you guys, like, what I really went through to get here. And he told me that. And instead of usually getting into my ego and getting into my emotions, I listened to someone who I love and who I respect and who has been very important in my career, and I got back to the drawing board. So, Naveed, thank you for that talk. I want to thank Mike, who is just, I don't think a lot of people know him, but he's in mostly in the background and helps me with a lot of the videos and helps me with just, he's the reason that I'm really here. You know, I got to stay at his house for like 6 years and sleep on his couch. And there were the likes of Masego, Sheck West, Chase Atlantic, K-Camp, so many artists that I got to watch and learn from while I was still at Pizza Rev and still at Taco Bell and still at Sherwin Williams, you know, perfecting my craft and learning who I was as a human even more so than an artist. And, you know, these people really accepted me and really would take me to their sessions. Like, I remember driving Sheck West to meet Kanye West, you know, like, I was like his chauffeur, for like a week. And he was like, come on, Dwayne, I'm gonna tell you, he was like the most energetic kid ever. And, you know, Masego, who allowed me to be on his album that blew up with Tidal and allowed me to write 3 songs on there. You know, people were just giving me chances and chances after chances. Chase Atlantic, who you guys, I had on the, you know, this podcast, and everybody knows Mitchell Cave is pretty much my boyfriend at this point. And I also want to thank Mitchell for just being a friend to me. Hopeless Records, Eric Tobin, you guys know him in the scene, man. He's a really great A&R who is just amazing and took a big chance on a kid who had 20,000 monthly listeners a year ago. And that is not the case today, and I'm thankful for you and Aaron and Josh Eppel, everybody there, Ian. You guys really supported me, and thank you so much, because I think this album is fantastic. I'm just really, I hope you guys are okay with this. Yeah, I'm really gonna call off everybody, but you know, my mom and my 8 brothers and sisters, my dad, my stepdad, you know, Robbie Heiser, who I also had on this podcast, really came into my life at a beautiful time, because he just really showed me how to make a record and how to really be vulnerable and keep my poetic style while writing great pop hooks. And he was a mentor for me and a best friend to me and a great producer. There were many times we were in the studio and I was just so overwhelmed with emotion, because I, you know, as you guys know, as the circle know, that, you know, music is my life and is very important to me. But I've really had to work very hard for every step that you guys have seen so far over the past year. And he was just really able to capture that moment and capture what I was feeling and, you know, really, really helped me settle down to learn who I was. And that's where I want to get to with. I also have one more thank you. I want to thank my great friend, Willow, who, I mean, I think you guys know the impact that she's had on my life as far as writing better songs and becoming an artist and getting to watch her do her thing, because god damn, I mean, her album, I think, is album of the year, and it's fantastic. And I just want to let her know that I'm thankful for her and she's great. And you know what? Fish, I love you so much. I also want to thank Fish, because Fish has been a supporter of me for way too long. And when I wasn't really doing any good songs, but he always held it down for me. So thank you, Fish. I love you. And I also want to thank someone, very special man, who, God damn it, you're so right. I'm so mad at myself for this. Austin, hey, man, I know I haven't seen you in so long, but you just put out, I think, your best song ever, Fuck About It, which is so damn sexy. And just thank you for taking me on tour countless amounts of times and putting me in front of people and just giving me a chance and you know, and buying me food and taking me to yoga class when I couldn't afford it because you know I needed that mental health. And just thank you for being there for me, bro, so many times, man. I know we've both been working extremely hard this year, but I hope I get to see you very soon. And I love you and I love the circle. And we're going to keep it moving from here. So the first song on the album I want to talk about is Die Here. I was kind of at a process here where I had the thought of, I didn't want to die young. You know, there's kind of this thing where artists really, a lot of the artists that I am inspired by and that I'm obsessed with, you know, the Cobains and the Janis Joplins, and of course Hendrix, who I have tatted on my thigh. Like they died so very young and it was like kind of beautiful. You know what I'm saying? It's like after Marilyn Monroe died and it's like after Andy Warhol died, you know, it's like you become even much more bigger, but you wasn't there to like experience it. And I was like, yo, I want to be here with my family and with my mom and with the people that I love in my life and show them the gratitude that I feel for them every day. And Die Here was really a true expression for me becoming like a man, I would even say, because up until this year, I still felt like a teenager who didn't have much to give to the world. And Die Here really showed me that I want to be here and I want to be here for my supporters and I want to be here for myself. And I thank Robbie. That was the first song that we made in the My Favorite Blue Jeans sessions, which came out and has been my biggest song yet. And poor Stacy, who I also want to thank because, man, we sent that song around to some homies, you know, and he sent back that verse and I just knew it was going to be on radio and I knew it was going to go crazy. And I was very thankful for that. And I'm just happy about that song so, 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 so much. And it's just a good one. And it goes off live. And Robbie, thank you for trusting me. Also, I want to thank Colin, too, because he came in and helped us with that. I think he goes by the artist name Little Hurt, but he came in and helped us with that hook. And I feel like it's a little anthem. I feel like it's my first little mini hit that I have. And that feels really awesome, you know what I'm saying, because we've been at this for such a long time. And with that, we'll take a break, and I'll be right back.
So you say you're going away to LA. Who you think you are? I hear fake tales from the place. She almost made it. He almost made it. But then they got them plays and commercial making. Thinking about it, so I had to get up. I drove 1300 miles.
so far I didn't wanna think about it. Nah, I told him I just wanna make it happen. Don't wanna think about it. Dancing on my grave, no tears. The voices in my head, they don't pay no rent. Yeah, I don't wanna die, 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 die. Yeah, I don't wanna die out here. Yeah, dancing on my grave, no tears. The voices in my head, they don't pay no rent. Yeah, I don't wanna die, die, die out here.
And you just loved listening to Die Out Here on Dwayne's World off my new album, My Favorite Blue Jeans. Before we get more into that album, I do want to talk about Stains, because I think I loved it. Not that I think, I know that I loved it. I know that my supporters loved it. But I just want to talk about just where I was in my life then and how it's really changed till now. But Stains was recorded during the pandemic, of course. I mean, Hopeless gave me a chance to be an artist through the pandemic, which as artists and I think people who love music, I mean, we thought that there were going to be no more shows. We thought that there was going to be no more music. So many things were changing in the industry. And I really, 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 really had a chance to make something that I thought was awesome and make something that I'm still very proud of. I mean, there's a few songs that off that album that I really, truly believe I'll play for the rest of my career, including Perfume with my King on it, which was really the first good song I knew I made, to be honest with you guys. And Super 8, Me Versus You, Stains, National Anthem, you know, is a staple in the live show. We always begin the show with that. And real quick, just, I mean, let's talk about, we did a headline tour this year, you know, off of Stains. You know, I got to go out and play in front of kids from my first album and play at Reading and Leeds, you know, play at GovBall, Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, all these huge festivals that y'all know I was geeking out and freaking out about, because I love that even though I've been watching the industry for a while, you know, this is really, it was kind of my first chance to get a chance to play with the big boys and to be on main stage. And as everyone know, you know, I like to tell people that I opened up for Green Day at Lollapalooza because I was on main stage and they were last. And that's what I told the people there as well. And I kicked that show's ass respectfully. Hope that's okay to say. And then Green Day came in and showed why they are Green Day. And I also want to tell a story about Billy Joel. I got to meet that king, and I smacked him on the ass. I know I tweeted it one time, but I was so drunk. I'm sober now. I don't know how long that's going to last. Don't hold me to that. I was very wasted, and I smacked him on the ass, and he was so sweet about it. Mr. Armstrong, I love you. I hope I can tour with you one day, and I hope we can just go get coffee or do whatever you like to do. And I just want to hear about what the hell your process is like, but getting back to Stains, I'm just very thankful for that album. And, you know, it was still me kind of being a kid and yelling into the void, like, let me in, let me in, let me in. And that's what I think is so important about this conversation, because my perspective has changed so much since then. Getting to this process of My Favorite Blue Jeans, I got to go into the studio and know the type of rock artist that I wanted to be. You know, I had my influences down. I had a story down. I was, with Stains, I was kind of talking about 25 years of life in 11 songs. So there was a lot going on. There was still me trying to prove a point. And with this, I was like, nah, I'm so much better. I'm so much more confident in who I am. I know what I want to say. I know that I want to be a pop rock artist who makes, you know, still tell stories and have hooks that bang. You know, I knew that coming in, so it was really cool. And I wanna let you guys know, because I know there are gonna be a lot of interviews and stuff that comes out, but this album is purely about the will to live and the will to love, you know, and the power of what those two things can do for you. So coming into My Favorite Blue Jeans, I was in a new phase of my life. You know, I was learning, I was growing, I was loving myself, I was loving the people around me more, and I was just more tapped in with my heart, even though, you know, people know that I am a Cancer, but I hadn't really felt love the way that I feel it now. And that's not to like say I'm talking about a specific person, but just like the way that I give my love now is just so much more mature and so much more realer and so much more honest. So that's kind of what my favorite Blue Jeans is about. And it's just a really beautiful love story. And I used to kind of laugh at bands that I would listen to earlier who I'm obsessed with, like Green Day, like Weezer, like The Strokes, like The Cars. You know what I'm saying? They would be talking about women in their life, and I was like, oh, they're only talking about this because they haven't gone through anything, and da 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 da. And once that love hits your ass, bro, that shit fuck you up, man. And you end up kind of like, it just becomes who you are, and that's what this album is about. It's literally a love letter, you know, which I'm really, really stoked that I'm here at this point of life, and I can talk about these things. And I really, me and Robbie were able to capture a moment in time in like 6 weeks in my life where things were happening for the first time that I hadn't felt. And with that, I want to get to a song called Lonely House on the record, which is just, you know, not wanting to be alone after you've spent time with someone that you really are inspired by. And it's not even like you want to do anything. You just want to be beside them. You want to watch TV with them. You want to hear what they have to say. You want to sneak and read their journal entries. You know what I'm saying? You want to experience what it's like to wake up with them in the morning and see what type of emotions they have and how you feel looking at them in the eyes, you know? And to be all the way honest, I totally bit Kelly Clarkson on that song. And I hope people can admire my inspiration that I took for this album, because I just love pop music. And I also love the way pop artists are able to tell these love stories. And Lonely House is just a very, you know, a very special song with that. And I also want to go to a song like Simple, which is featuring I Don't Know How, But They Found Me. And I think everyone knows the inspiration that Dallin's been on me and how I truly have a crush on him. And he's one of the most gorgeous white men I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, I'm not even being funny with that. He's really sexy. And, you know, Dallin has the type of hair that make even a black person want to be like, damn, I wish I had that type of hair. And, you know, what he do is he can do the swing thing, and it's just very hot. He's like 6'6". You know, he's really, I'm kind of infatuated with him. And that's why that song was so huge for me. But even in the story of that, I'm like talking about just being so simple and understanding who I am, being able to like be at my house, have a drink, have a cry, watch a movie, call someone, go see them, and vibe it out. Like, it was just like, that's like the mature part of me couldn't have done that on stage, because I was like, I have to show people that I'm doing stuff. And I can talk about this and I can talk about that. But it's like, no one can really tell a story the way that Dwayne can, because it's only one of, you know, it's only one of me. So that's what I wanted to do with that song. And I think you guys have been enjoying that. And with another song like Thank You for Lying to Me, which I kind of gave praise to my dad earlier, that was a process that we went through with this album as well, because for so long I want to be honest about this, like I was very, he just wasn't a really great, like he wasn't in my life as much as I wanted him to be. And I always admired him, and I, you know, he was my hero just because he was my dad and he could fight and, you know, he had women and he could do all these very cool things that I didn't really grab. I was just really nice. And, you know, people say that I'm handsome, and that's cool too. But growing up in Houston, you know, you see a man who's like so beautiful and can do all those other things. And I was like, damn, why do I only get to see him once or twice a month? But what I had forgot about that during the process of Stains and during my whole life that I remembered on this album was that those summers that I would spend with him, he would, you know, he would smoke his weed, or he would have a drink, or he would have something on TV playing me some Houston artists. And he would tell me that I could do what I'm doing today. You know, even if he was out of his mind or whatever, he would sit me down and be like, yo, the Jacksons, black people, like, and black people who are listening to this know we care about our last name, even though we shouldn't, because it was given to us in a rough, bad trade way. But my family was like, the Jacksons are this and the Jacksons are that. And he would just be like, you can go out into the world and become who you want to be. You know, you can become a star, and you can become an artist, and you can become someone to be proud of, and you can become not Dwayne Sr. And I really kind of thought on that with this album. And I was like, damn, even if that was the one thing that my father gave to me, that was enough. and I'm thankful for him, and I love him, and I forgive him for not being there as much. And to be honest, you know, I think we know a lot of our parents, as they get older and as they grow, you know, they are really concrete in who they are. And he's been able, and I give him so much praise for this, he's been able to really grow, and now he has a really good job, and he, like, takes care of my sisters and brothers and, like, helps out. And I got to see him when I went back home. Beautifully enough, you know, Spotify flew me out there because they're giving me a billboard for the album in Houston, which is a huge dream come true for me. But I was able to talk to him, and he was apologizing for all this stuff. And I was like, Dad, like, you're good, bro. I love you so much. And you gave me the key to my life. You gave me, you know, the thought and the way of being optimistic and being the dreamer that I am today, because since I was five, you were always telling me these wonderful things that I could do. And I needed that. And I'm thankful for you, Dad. I love you so much. So when you guys hear the song, Thank You for Lying to Me, know that it's a true rock and roll love letter to my dad for sitting me up on the dryer and the washer and rolling his weed and, you know, telling me everything that I could be. And with that, we'll take a break. Thank You for Lying to Me, which is a very, very special song to me, as you guys know, about my dad and our growing friendship and just love that I have for him. But I want to talk a little bit more about kind of where this song came from, because, as I said, I remember it. I kind of reflected back on the positive things, and that was really all I needed, you know, for our relationship and for me to forgive him and to be thankful for him. And when I was in Houston, you know, working with Spotify, and thank you to them always for supporting me, but they're really supporting this album in a very crazy way. But I was with my dad. We were in the hotel, and we were just hanging, and we were on like the highest floor, and he was looking out, and he was like looking back at me like, yo, like, you really did it. And I was like, nah, like, you know, I got a lot of work to do. You know, you guys know I got big dreams and aspirations and want Grammys and want my mom not to work and stuff like that. But I'm like, it's going, you know, and we really got to reflect and love on each other. And we had a sleepover. Like, there was two robes in the room. He put on the other robe and went to sleep. It was beautiful. I took a photo of him that he doesn't know about because I thought it was so sweet, man. And I love that man, and I just, he's always apologizing to me, but I want to apologize to him for stuff that I would, like, not say on songs or interviews, but just for, I was kind of upset, you know, and that's what I'm so, I was kind of nervous about maturing and growing and you know, as you get older and stuff like that. But as I've been maturing and getting older and learning who I am, it's like the most beautiful thing that life can give you, because you can really look back and be like, how do I really feel about this? And I love that man, and I'm forever thankful for him. I mean, he's half of the reason that I'm here. So thank you, Dad. I love you, and I hope you love the song. But moving on with my favorite Blue Jeans, I also want to talk about a song that is very, 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 every song on this album is dear to my heart, but I want to talk about a song called She's My Sexy Boy, which now has a beautiful video out, and I'm sure, I hope you guys are streaming it, but this song is just everything. It kind of really puts the album, you know, it's kind of the main purpose of the album, and just talking about this beautiful person that came into my life and just gave me so much confidence and so much inspiration and taught me about a person that I really like. And I've always kind of been into, you know, this is just truth. I've always been into, like, very masculine women. Like, I've always been into, like, very tough, like, loud. Like, because I think you guys know that I'm very quiet when I'm not on stage humping the speakers and stuff like that. But it just showed me that I love that. And I love that in a partner and in a person and in a friend. And I even noticed that, you know, that's how my mom was, you know, even though things were so hard for us. And I would have never known until I became older, because she told me, but like, yo, my mom worked countless amount of hours to do everything and to put food on the table for us my whole life. And I think as I got older, I was like, man, I love that about a person. And I think we all can appreciate women so, so, so much. But I was just like, God damn, I'm so thankful for you, and I'm so thankful to you. And I just want to kiss the floor that you walk on, and I want to do all these things for you and work harder for you and just show my gratitude. And that song is just everything to me. And this album is everything to me. And I'm, once again, I just want to thank Hopeless for taking a chance on me. And I want to thank my, you know, Joe Madden, you know, who is one of my managers, always tells me, and Josh Madden and Benj always tells me to, like, when you are accomplishing things that you've always dreamed of, remember that kid who was, like, on, you know, that kid who you were, and, like, that kid, keep him on your shoulder. And all these things that I've been able to do this year, I keep that kid on me, that young Dwayne who was doing those talent shows and never got any, no placements, just none at all. It was always the dancers that got the placements and the people that played piano. But all these things that I've done, that's why I'm so grateful. And, like, you guys see the excitement that I have when I'm able to get to a second album, bro. Because, like, you know, where I come from, you know, there's nobody in my family, and y'all know I love them, but there's no one in my family that was an artist and that was artistic and that was an expressionist and a poet and did things kind of out of the norm. So I was already kind of against the odds, and not coming from a family of many means, you know, we really had to work hard. So that's why every step that y'all see me take, I'm so damn happy. And just to make it to my second album is really, like, I put it online, but it's really a dream for me. And I really worked hard on it, and I honestly, honestly hope you guys enjoy it. And I'm thankful to The Circle, and I'm thankful to Adobe for giving me this chance to just come here and talk. And because I want you guys to check out everything that's coming out with the interviews and stuff, but I just wanted to give y'all my real true inspiration for the album and give y'all my true thoughts on it, because sometimes you kind of have to protect yourself when you're talking to these media people. And even though they're great and I'm thankful for them, I just wanted to give y'all the true meaning of the album, which is the power to love and the power to live. And if you're doing that, you've already done enough. And life can be hard, but it's also very tight and very beautiful. And if y'all ever need anyone to talk to, y'all know I'm here. And I'm just fucking really grateful for this year, man, to have gone on a tour myself and to have played these festivals and to have played Redden and Leeds on main stage. You know, this shit is very weird for me, you know, coming from the kid who was opening up for Water Parks on every tour. and I want to also say that the only reason that I won't tour with Water Parks again is because Austin told me not to. And he said, once you get to the point to where you can go do your own thing, do that. And I hope I see him soon so I can kiss him on the mouth. And I love you guys so much. And just hit me with your feedback from my favorite Blue Jeans. Here on Dwayne's World with this very special episode talking about my favorite Blue Jeans, the new album that just dropped. And before we wrap up here, I want to say, look, this is a little funny, but just talking about the perspective of where I came from with things like banging on the door, I got to get into the industry. I wanted to show people in a very confident way of, I mean, I was able to get 4 features on the album that I love. I mean, and that are killing it in the game right now. I mean, Grandson, I don't know how, but they found me, which I talked about earlier, but y'all know how I feel about Dallin. Poor Stacy, who is a amazing rock star. I mean, I've seen some of his live shows, and my man gets the circle pick going. I went to a Lamb of God show the other day, and poor Stacy had the circle pick going more than Lamb of God did, and that's no shade to them. Lamb of God, big respect. The way y'all can talk about God and say fuck in the same song is just fucking amazing to me. Also, shout out to God, because I'm playing my part that they want me to play. And also, the most special feature on the album to me was Good Charlotte, because we've worked together for maybe 4 or 5 years now, and the timing of the way they really allowed me to grow as an artist and never doubted me and never put doubt in my mind, always knew that I would, you know, start to write really great songs and always knew I would become a great performer. Also, goddamn Jesse J. Like, bro, 2017, I was at Pizza Rev and Jesse J would come and pick me up some days and like cook food for me. And then she was just like, I'm going to take you on tour. And I went to London for the first time, got my passport. Like, those moments, like, we could have a whole episode, I think, just me saying thank you to people who has been so important to my journey. But I also want to talk about that and just and say thank you to those four artists who got on the album. I'm very appreciative of you guys, and you guys deliver amazing verses and, you know, allowed some more people to come into the circle. And I forever will show my gratitude to you guys for that. And I also had the best time shooting She's My Sexy Boy video this past weekend, with we had an actress, AJ, who came in and played the heroine to me and saved the day. And that was also it, like, this album was also just like a dedication to women, because I want more silly, stupid men to know. And I hate to get this, but it's just honest. Like, bro, women like save the day. Like, women create life. I hate to get deep on y'all, but like, this is also a part of my journey the past year. We need to like know that. And we gotta like kiss the fucking floor of these people that come into our lives and do so much for us and don't get the thank yous and don't get the praise. I wanted to show a story where the woman comes and saves the man, and not a man riding in on a cowboy hat and a horse, doing some shit that we've been seeing for 1,000 years, in quotation marks, because I think the woman was first. And that's how I feel about that. And She's My Sexy Boy is a dedication to that person in my life. And I also want to give thank you to all the streaming services, but like Spotify, you guys have been so amazing to me, even though I'm a tiny artist. And thank you for the billboards this year. I've already been seeing The Circle kind of tweet about like when Stain's got a billboard. And I want to say we're going even bigger and better on this album, because these billboards, having one in Houston is just a dream come true. And you know, I think most people know that I was kind of more raised in Spring, Texas, a suburb outside of Houston, and I wanted to make sure that billboard in Houston said that I was from Spring, because that's where I learned my craft, and that's where I finished school with a pretty solid GPA, I'll be honest, but I was so dedicated to music making from seventh grade on, and my friends there showed me how to record, and I was in my closet, and, you know, my mom was cooking downstairs, and I was doing these terrible songs, but it was practice, and it was lovely, and that's why I kind of wanted to make sure that big-ass billboard that's going to be in Houston for my favorite Blue Jeans said Spring on it. And also, I want to thank you guys for putting one up in Times Square, which feels really amazing and really iconic. And all the people that I look up to have gotten that. And that's just really awesome. And thank you all for supporting the four singles that we put out this year. It just feels really good. I also want to give a thank you to YouTube, who we just partnered up with, which is kind of fucking weird. You guys know, like, what is that about? Like, what is partnering up with me about? You know, I'm tiny. I don't know, but thank you anyway. And it's really cute, and I feel really sexy. And yo, to end this episode, we're actually going to play a song called Blue Jean Babe. Guys, I mean, listen to the lyrics. Listen to the hook. She's My Sexy Boy in this song really, like, it's all the two songs that you need, but I gave you 11 because I'm an artist. But god damn, just great songs. I'm sorry. I hate to be like in my ego right now, but amazing. And I hope it sounds like a black guy making a Nickelback song. And you know what that means. That means big hook, give me a stadium ASAP. I love you guys so much. I love The Circle. And once again, I want to thank Adobe too for giving me just a foundation to get my feelings and express myself to you guys today. And yeah, I'll see you guys very soon. Much love.
Prettiest psychopath I ever seen. I get you stuck in by your denim jeans. I get the angles right when you're in front of me. They're shooting cameras, but we let them see everything. I ride in my white pony to the sunset. Black girl, but she rock a British accent. Tell me if I'm tapped in or not. Is that me going to? She told me so. Oh, God, she takes me free. I'm never.
never coming home.